Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's well known that Beethoven became increasingly reclusive as deafness took its toll. Some believe that made his music more difficult and obscure, particularly with his late string quartets. Boston's Borromeo String Quartet thinks technology can help. In concert, the group performs using special music stands adapted to hold laptops containing the musical score, and they regularly play to video projections synchronized with the music. And for almost a decade, they've released their recordings through their own record label. In a moment, we'll talk with members of the group, but first, a live performance. This is the Borromeo Quartet playing the final movement of Beethoven's Quartet Opus 18, Number 3, live on Soundcheck. Thank you. That is the Borromeo String Quartet live in our Soundcheck studio, and the conclusion of Beethoven's String Quartet No. 3 from his Opus 18, a collection of six early string quartets. And wait till you see how different the late Beethoven string music sounds when the Borromeos perform some of that for us in a couple of minutes. First, let me introduce you to the quartet. Nicholas Kitchen and Christopher Tong are the violinists. Mai Motobushi plays the viola. Yi-Sun Kim plays the cello. And they are performing for us this afternoon and tomorrow night at Alice Tully Hall, an all-Beethoven program at 7:30. Nick, welcome back to WNYC. Before we talk about Beethoven and his increasing reclusiveness and how it affects the second piece of music you're going to play for us, I have to ask about the technology. We just filmed what you guys were playing, and later this afternoon people can go to the Soundcheck page and see what you guys are doing. You've got the violins, the viola, the cello, and they're sort of left alone, but each of you is sitting in front of a laptop computer with a foot pedal.
That's right.
What is that controlling?
Well, you know, ever since I can remember, any chamber music coach who really wanted us to get deeply into the music would say, oh, you really have to study the score. I wish you could play from the score. And every so often, people would start Xeroxing massive numbers of pages and end up with a work of art on the stand that would allow you to read off the score. But I did, I saw some pianists who were employing computers in order to read music. And all of a sudden, I realized, well, gee, that's the solution. We can in fact, look at the complete score. So we're reading all four parts and reading that all the time. And
now, this is different from normally you would just be reading your part, Chris would just be reading his part, and putting it all together is a matter of communication.
That's right.
So here, through the laptop, you're able to see all four parts at once.
That's correct.
Does that make communication easier, or does that take away some of the magic of the string quartet?
Well, it changes it. But I would say when we entered into this, so we were just experimenting, you know, to see whether it would work. What we do find is that there's a whole process of experience that, yes, is making you more sensitive. But at the same time, there's so much of the process which is really just an exchange of information that when one looks at the score is immediately obvious. And the amount of that information increases kind of exponentially. I've always found it kind of funny that pianists who have the most page turns have, through history, insisted on playing from a complete score anyway, despite the struggle.
So you guys are watching this stuff on your screens, and then, Chris, sometimes in performance, we're watching that too, aren't we? Is that when you're projecting stuff behind the quartet as you play?
We've done some presentations where on a projector, it's basically hooked up to, usually it's Nick's laptop, which will just be showing the score that he's looking at, and of course proceeding at the rate at which he's turning the pages, which is along with the music.
Is that what the foot pedal does?
Yeah, it's just a page forward
and
page back. You know, I think the thing that's really exciting about this technology is sort of spending more time in touch with the source, which is sort of the total picture. It's a little akin to, you know, if you were an actor and you were reading from a screenplay versus reading from a list of just your own lines, you know, obviously having the total picture gives you context. At the same time, there is an element of something where the piece is not really what's on the page, it's what's happening in real time. And I think, you know, looking at the score doesn't need to prevent you from participating in that. Because of that, actually, I sometimes use the score all the time in rehearsal, but not always in performance for that reason, to sort of be in touch with both sides of it. But I think really what's exciting about being able to read off the score is just always to be in touch with the complexity with which all the parts relate to each other, which is something, you know, you're always seeing something new every time you look at it.
All right, so that's what you're seeing, and that's your experience. But Nick, what do we as the audience experience differently as a result of the way you guys are using this technology?
Well, you know, of course, there's the athletic event of the super fast page turn, which can be exciting. And can give the performer a great feeling of accomplishment.
Some of the most exciting performances I've seen are where the poor page turner has muffed his or her job and the pages have gone fluttering to the floor.
That's right. Well, it's
exciting.
We may have removed some of that drama, but it's funny. You know, the person that designed these laptop stands, I think, made a very nice attempt to preserve the design of a basic music stand. And fortunately, we happen to all be using Apple computers, and they're very beautifully made, so they are very attractive, I think, mm-hmm. as computers go. And we make an effort. We do use power on the stage, though probably they would be fine on battery, but just seems like an unnecessary risk. And so we have a power cord out there, and I actually take a nice, beautiful blanket that we got at a concert at Thailand, you know, just a cloth, and I put that over the wires. Just because,
it looks as nice as a wire hanging in the middle of a stage.
Well, that's right.
The Borromeo Quartet are with us in our studio today. They're the quartet in residence at the New England Conservatory, playing tomorrow night all Beethoven program at Alice Tully Hall. Now, you started with the Opus 18. These were his first six string quartets. This is a young man, still has his hearing, not the most social guy in the world already. But by the time you get to the Grosse Fuga, this late piece that you're going to excerpt for us, he's lost his hearing, he's retreated into seclusion. You know, can you pull apart what's happened to the man with what's happened to the music?
Well, I mean, there's, of course, hundreds of anecdotes that are passed on about Beethoven, but one of my favorite ones that I've heard quoted is where he says, "I'm one of the nicest people I know." And actually, what I do find remarkable, there's a terrible moment where the Austrian police picked up Beethoven on the street and they couldn't tell him apart from a bum. That was probably the low point of his life. But at the same time, even at the end of his life, even when he was deaf, he was known to be in a cafe and exchanging conversations about Shakespeare and jokes. And so I think at all points of his life, he probably was an incredibly volatile, complex mixture.
As this piece is, why don't we hear? You're just going to play a couple of minutes of the Grosse Fuga, which is a big sprawling work for string quartet. Once again, Nicholas Kitchen, Christopher Tong, the violinists, Mai Motobushi playing the viola, and Yi Sun Kim, the cello. This is an excerpt from Beethoven's Grosse Fuga, played live in our soundcheck studio by the members of the Borromeo Quartet. Thank you. That is the Borromeo Quartet with just an excerpt of Beethoven's late piece for strings, the Grosse Fuga. The full program of Beethoven music tomorrow night at 7:30 at Alice Tully Hall to the members of the Borromeo Quartet. Thanks for performing for us this afternoon on Soundcheck. That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, drummers. Are they unreliable misanthropes or the beating heart of the band? We'll have a debate. And we'll have the incredible story of Priscilla, a talented 9-year-old rapper, as told in a new documentary called P-Star Rising. That's tomorrow. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Paul Schneider. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Julia Forlan and Martin Sulko. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck.